Okay, we're going to have a, let's go ahead and put our video up. We have, Pastor Lori's going to speak on victory in the storm, and we have a video of Jesus in the storm. Let's go ahead and watch this.
You got to love Hollywood, right? I don't know if it was exactly like that, but in Mark, Jesus comes and calms a storm. Today we're going to talk about victory in the storms, and I'm going to talk about several storms that I've been led to look at through the Bible, and that particular storm is interesting because this, let me clarify the Hollywood rendition of that really quickly. Jesus was asleep in the stern of the boat, which is underneath and in the back, okay? He wasn't laying on top there and all that, okay? I'm not saying that there wasn't water coming at him and things like that. And he also spoke to the winds and the waves, and he calmed the storm. But I just wanted to kind of get you in the idea of where that storm, that story came from. So today's message is based on storms. There's all kinds of storms. There's snowstorms, there's hailstorms, there's wind, rain, you name it, right? We hear it on a daily basis. And there's also some like emotional storms we can go through, physical storms of our body, emotional storms of our life, you know. So storms come in all kinds. You just be like, I'm in a storm, you know. Everybody knows what you mean, right? In 1991, there was something called the perfect storm. They actually did a movie about it, about the Andrea Gale. And it was a ship of several fishermen, and they were never seen of again. And it was called the perfect storm because what was happening is there was a hurricane force. I think it was the remnants of Hurricane Grace was down towards the Bermuda area or Bahama area, and it came up the northeast. And so at the same time from Canada, a cold front was coming down, which was a low pressure, and they just happened to meet at the perfect place at the perfect time for destruction. Destruction was so huge that the waves were perceived to have been, they were measured at 40 to 80 feet. 40 to 80 feet. And one unreport was 100 feet. Okay, just to give you a reference of how big a wave that is, a two-story house, if you look at, you stand in front of your house and it's a two-story house, that's about 20 to 25 feet. Can you imagine? Even a 25-foot wave would be enough for me. So, I'm kind of going to digress as a little object lesson here, but I think sometimes there's perfect spiritual storms. You know, you got a little bit of a mixture, a remnant of something hanging out in the south part of your life, and it starts making its way up the north, you know, and then like all of a sudden out of the blue, because it just comes on you, there's a low pressure that's coming, a low pressure coming down, okay, like a low point, maybe a place where, you know, the remnant can play on that low place where, you know, things are a little bit low or a little bit lonely or a little bit whatever you want to put in the box there. And all the perfect storm comes. Next thing you know, you're got 40 to 80 foot waves and you're looking at and you're like, you know, SOS. So that's a perfect storm. And we can also have perfect storms in our life. So this storm, in order to have victory of the storm, you have to understand a few points. And this first point is you cannot manage the storm. The reason the disciples didn't wake Jesus, and then here's our whole big thing about Jesus. Well, what was he doing sleeping? Well, the disciples have one thing they're good at. Some of them, I mean, like four of them are fishermen. You know, you got one job. Jesus has like not been eating, not been sleeping. I mean, he is a man's man. We know that. So he's out there just going to people that nobody wants to go to, healing the sick. I mean, he is working overtime. He's putting all of his physical needs on hold. So he has like a little bit of a siesta here just to get from one point to the next point. And the disciples are like, we got this. Go to sleep because there's one thing we can do and that's we're good at this. So you got one job, all right? And I can do this. So just take a break. Well, then the storm happens. And because they had seen other storms, they just figured it was like a regular storm. Because they really weren't aware of who was really in their boat. You know, sometimes we can kind of lose the value of what we're carrying, you know what I'm saying? So the storm starts happening, and they have Jesus in the boat. And so here you got these disciples that think, I can manage the storm because it's just like any other storm. It's just like any other storm. You know, you just swap the deck or whatever the heck fishermen people say and man this task. I don't know, just yell out fisherman terms. I don't know what you do. But anyways, they were doing it because that's what they knew to do. But this wasn't a regular storm. This was a perfect storm. And the thing is, the storm wasn't sent to destroy the Jesus or the disciples. The storm wasn't even made for the disciples. The storm was made to destroy Jesus. He had already done a whole lot of preaching and a whole lot of healing, a whole lot of crazy stuff. And you don't think the enemy didn't notice that? And so he creates this perfect storm saying, oh, this isn't going to happen. We're going to destroy that guy. So the disciples were bonus. If they die, if they perish, that's just sprinkles on the ice cream. I mean, Jesus was the ice cream. He was the cone, the ice cream, the whole thing. That's what the storm was made for. So you find Jesus asleep in the boat, and they were trying to manage the storm that was way bigger than what they thought. And so the lesson for us is, when you're in a storm, the first storm cloud, the first gust of wind, go wake Jesus up in the boat. You know what I'm saying? Just to be sure. Go wake him up in the boat, because you just don't know. It was a perfect storm. It was sent to destroy Jesus, but they were trying to manage something that was unmanageable for them. It was out of their element. It was way bigger than what they thought. And it wasn't a typical storm. It was a storm meant to destroy Jesus. So sometimes the storms in our life are meant to destroy Jesus in you. They're sent to destroy who you represent. You start stepping out and a storm comes. So when you start saying, you know what, I'm gonna get off drugs, I'm gonna get my life together, I'm gonna get out of that bad marriage, I'm gonna do this, and all of a sudden a storm comes and you can't manage it. So you got to go down and wake up Jesus, who calms the storm. And he spoke to the storm. And Jesus in us, the Holy Spirit, can awaken in us. And we can declare and decree and calm the storm, because he has already done that. He's made a way for us to do that. Amen. I'm going to go to another storm. So don't try to manage the storm. If you want victory over storms, don't try to manage them. Don't try to manage them, because it's a sense of, you got this. We don't realize it. We don't like to bother people, okay? There's one thing I'm good at. They're saying I can fish, I can row. I mean, this one thing I'm really good at, okay? I don't want to bother him. I don't want to bother the people in my life. This one thing I got this, you know? But you don't. You can't win against the perfect storm, okay? Or just to be clear, any storm. Just go get help, because you're not bothering Jesus. You're not bothering people. If you know, people in your family, you're not bothering, you know? So just want to make sure that you run for cover the first little storm cloud you see, the first gust of wind, the first threat of weather. Amen? Because apparently the Sea of Galilee has a really way of, storms come really quick. And I was reading about it, and the wind comes fast. So it's not like you have a lot of time to prepare. And even when the perfect storm happened, those guys were only 500 miles away from shore. That's not really that far when you think about it. But they were never heard of again. That's Andrea Gale back up. Didn't know if I lost you or not. Okay, so the second way to have victory over the storm is to be asleep in his love. So I think it's kind of interesting, and I think this is just human nature. We try to manage something that's not manageable, that's out of our jurisdiction, so to speak, and then we blame Jesus of not caring. Do you know what I mean? We get to the point where we're like almost completely annihilated, and then we're like, hey, don't you even care? What are you doing, sleeping? Wake up, you know? And it says that he was in the stern of the boat and he was sleeping on a cushion. Well, that makes it even worse for me personally. Because I'm dying now, you're sleeping on a cushion. You know, at least sleep on something hard, but a cushion, you know? And water was coming in, so I don't know if his cushion was floating around down there. I don't know what was happening. But my imagination's like, well, how much water was in there? And they think they're going to, you know, so it must have been pretty significant. So they awaken him, and I kind of, sometimes I don't like how Hollywood does it, because they make Jesus look so darn mean. You know, he comes up and he just does this, and then everything stops and the sun shines. And it's like, and he's like, where was your faith? And it's like, I don't feel really uplifted right there. You know what I mean? But have you ever seen those muscle men, those big builders? And they're just bulked out, but they got tiny little legs. You ever seen them? Because they don't like leg day. They don't like working out their legs, you know. They got all this up here, and then they wear shorts. They got these little tiny sticks. And it's like, you miss leg day. You definitely don't like doing leg workouts, I can tell. But, you know, because sometimes it's just all up here, you know. And we got it all up here, but sometimes we miss our leg workout. And our faith is weak there. It doesn't mean, ye of little faith, you biggest loser. You know, that's not how Jesus is communicating. He's just like, you know what? You got to work on your legs a little bit. They're a little weak. It's just one muscle. just a couple muscles. It's not your whole life, your whole Christian walk. It's just like a little piece of it. Like, hey, you're a little bit faithless there. You gotta exercise that muscle a little more. Okay, so don't misinterpret some things that God is angry. He's just like, hey, he's got little legs. Start working out the legs. Now, some of the ladies are like, amen, I like the little legs, amen. So Jesus was asleep in the Father's love. He was fearless. He could fall asleep in a storm. Yes, he was physically exhausted, but obviously there was a lot going on that he was actually able to sleep. And I'm reminded of this story. You know, I like adventures, and so I thought, oh, this would be great to take my 10-year-old daughter, and I got permission to share this story, on a little adventure. So we like to bike ride, and we like water and stuff like that. So I thought, I had this great idea. Let's go to Ohio Pal, and let's go, we have to ride 10 miles, and then you do 12 miles back on a little raft, like a little kayak. It's like a little ducky, you know? And I thought, that would be kind of fun, because in my mind, this is what it looked like. We just ride down, you know, we're a little bit exhausted, but not too bad. Then we get in the little raft, I have a picnic lunch, and we're just going to float down the river. I mean, make a memory, isn't that cool? Look at the birds and the chirping and a couple little waves, I don't know why you're all laughing, you know. Little rapids and just, wow, this is nice. So let's have a picnic lunch, you know. Well, that's not what it was like at all. You're laughing, so I think you can kind of perceive where I'm going with this. It was, I didn't predict a couple things. The rapids really were kind of dinky, actually. I didn't predict that the water level was going to be kind of low. So we got hung up on rocks a bunch of times. And I don't know what we looked like, but in order to get off of a rock on a raft, you have to bounce up and down. You can't really get out of it. You have to, like, bounce and shake yourself off of it. If you've ever been rafting, you know that's what you do, right? When you get hung up on a raft, you got everybody bounces around. So I'm sure we looked hysterical. And then there were times that the water was low. I had to get out and drag us. And I don't think the current was even in my favor. I think I was like rowing. And then I didn't even put into my mind that I would be rowing in still water, which is a lot of work after you've ridden 10 miles on a bike. So at one point, I think my daughter just out of sheer boredom had fallen asleep. And so she's in the front of the boat and I'm just rowing my guts out. I mean, I got like maybe 2 miles and I got another 18 to go, it feels like, you know. I mean, I literally had to row like 12 miles, you know, to get back to the start. And I should have kind of had an idea because the guys at the raft place were like, who's all going? I'm like, oh, me and her. And they're like, oh, okay. And I should have thought, they looked concerned. Wonder why they look concerned, because this is just going to be a float trip. But so I'm rowing like crazy and I look at her and she's asleep. Probably out of boredom. Her little head's bouncing up off the little ducky. And literally, we're going over like little rapids and like water's hitting her in the face and just coming on her. And I'm like, well, I wish I was sleeping, you know, and I'm rowing and I'm all by myself. And I think this reminds me of a story. This reminds me of why Jesus slept in the boat in the middle of the storm. He wasn't bored. He just was at rest. She knew that I had it under control. She knew this is the lady that I've known my whole life. And we've been through some storms, and she's never let me drown. She's never let me, and she'll get me where I got to go. This is going to be a while. I'm going to sleep. You know, she saw me rowing. She's like, it's going to take a little bit of time. She probably was faking it, you know what I mean? She probably was like, I'm going to fake like I'm sleeping, and then she doesn't have to row with me. But so that's kind of where we need to be. When you're in the middle of the storm, you can't stop the storm, but you can sleep in his love, knowing that he's in charge. You know, and I even like pictured in my head, I'm just going to climb down there in the stern of the boat and say, hey, Jesus, move over. Let me sleep till this thing's over, you know. But he wakes up, calms the storm. So that's just a little picture of really where we need to be. We can't stop the storm necessarily. I mean, we work with him. We can calm it and pray against it and things like that. But sometimes you just got to ride some stuff out and just rest in his love. Amen. The other way we can have victory in the storm is we have to learn to walk in the spirit as opposed to our mind, okay? So this is about Peter and the disciples. I'm just going to tell you the story, but it's in Matthew 14, 22-23. And Jesus sends the disciples across. He said, "Go." This is a totally different storm. He sends them across, said, go ahead and go across. I'll meet you over there. And he probably was going to pick up another boat. I mean, how he got there was not the way they were imagining he would get there. And so he went up on the mountain to pray. Because, you know, you're around people all the time. You need a little bit of me time, right? So Jesus went to get a little bit of me time, him and the Father. Just get refreshed. Just take a break, you know? But he saw his disciples, and it was dark, but he could see them, and there was a wind that was against them. Again, that Galilean wind, that the way that it would come, it just come right up. And so the wind is against them, and that concerns him. So he leaves the mountain, and he comes down to them. But in order to get to them, because they're in the middle of the sea, he walks on water to get there. And here's another thing that would happen is he was actually going to pass them by. And they see him. They kind of think he's like a ghost at first. And then all of a sudden they're like, Jesus, come back, save us. Okay? Because they're perishing again. You know, that's what happens. When you go with Jesus, you're going to get some storms, whether you go with him or not, right? And you know, there's something to that fact that they see him and they call for help. Like he was going to pass them by. I don't know if you've ever tried to do this, but it's really impossible to help somebody unless they want help. I always wondered that about Jesus. I'm like, he'd ask people that like hadn't been walking since they were born, you know. He's like, do you want to be healed? I'm like, well, that's kind of a no-brainer, right? I'm thinking, yeah, I can't see. I definitely want my sight. That would be nice, you know. But he asked them because I'm sure you see this in your life. There are people that you want to help. I mean, my gosh, you can see such great purpose in them, but if they don't see it, you can't help them. So Jesus comes, and then Peter, so bold, he's like, hey, if that's you, I kind of want to come out there too. Because literally, and I want you to know that when there's a wind against you, Jesus sees it. God knows what's coming against you. And he'll leave with his own comfort. I mean, Jesus left his comfort of, he had a moment that he could have to himself, and he didn't take it. He went out, and he defied all nature and all laws of nature and made liquid into a solid, so that he could get out there. Because there was something against his guys, his people, his disciples. There was a wind that was opposing them. And he's like, I'm not going to let them face that by themselves. I'm going to go out there and get them and help them. But I'll pass them by unless they say, hey, help me. So you always want to be saying, hey, help me. Be helpable. That's even a word. So when he gets to them, then Peter comes out and starts. So Peter begins to do the impossible. I don't know about you, but I've never seen anybody walk on water. Has anybody tried it? Because I have. Okay, you had. Are you a youth pastor? Are you a pastor or a youth pastor or children? That's why. Yeah, that's why. That's why we do those weird things. But yeah, I've definitely tried to walk on water. I'll run in the pool and I'm going to walk on water and you're going to sink. It's just, I don't know why, but we know why we do that kind of stuff. So if you haven't, you might want to try it. It doesn't work. But so Peter steps out and he actually takes some steps. But then what happens is some winds and some waves start happening around him. And so in order to walk the Spirit, you almost have to, I'm not saying shut your mind off completely, but you really have to be focused on Jesus. Because when you step out to do the impossible, it's going to be opposed. And so the wind and the waves were just reminders, because our mind has a memory. And sometimes, like if you've had trauma or you've had storms, obviously Peter has had some storms. And so all that had to happen was the winds and the waves kind of got him off course, and his mind just automatically sensed danger. And so your mind senses danger, and then it gets into fight or flight. And by that time, his focus is off, and he's sinking. And when he was sinking, it almost like you can tell that it the winds and the waves meant more to him than just winds and waves, because he's like, Lord, save me. Like there was a panic that came over him, that he was going to drown. And I'm like, surely he could swim a little maybe back to the boat, or they were going to throw a life raft. But he felt like he was going to be perishing. So that tells me that there's like some kind of memory recall on that event for him. Winds, waves, and he loses his focus. And so when you walk by the Spirit, it's not like you shut your mind off, but you really have to be focused. Like some people are in the battle of their lives, and they can't think in their head. They can't go on Google.com and figure out what's going on with their body. They have to stay focused on Jesus. You know what I'm saying? They have to stay focused on God's word, because their spirit man can be strong. And so I don't know about you, but bridges are kind of weird to me. And there's a bridge in Ohio Powell, and I just recently took a different trail when I was riding, and there's a really high bridge. And the first time I went over it, it wasn't a problem, because there were people and I had to be really focused that I didn't run anybody over. But the second time I thought, wouldn't that be nice to like look over the scene? That would be so cool. And then I'm going to be like higher up on my bike. I'll really be able to see good, right? Y'all are catching on, right? So the rail of the bridge if you're walking, comes here. But if you're riding, it's way down there. And so I start looking at the pretty scene, and all of a sudden my bike starts shaking. Because in my mind, I was focused on the end, but all of a sudden I saw over there, and in my mind, without any control, I immediately had a visual of myself plummeting to the rocks and crashing. I mean, you know how that is. Like, you sense danger, and then it throws the scenario, and my bike is shaking. People probably thought, that woman's going to wreck. Because, I mean, there was a guy coming right to me, and I was like, sorry. But my bike was just shaking because what I didn't want to happen was fall. So you got to be focused, because if not, it gets real shaky. Because your mind just has a way of thinking about life. It's fight or flight. It's like a natural response. So walk in your spirit, which is something you have to learn along the way. So victory in the storm will require you to walk in the spirit. In order to walk on water, you have to first walk in the spirit. Amen? And finally, not all storms are sent from the enemy. Some storms are sent to save us, and some storms come from God. You're like, what? It's true. Sometimes God will send a storm to rescue you, change your direction, and get us where he wants us to go. So this is a story of Jonah and the whale. But before Jonah and the whale, there was Jonah and the storm. And if you know that or not. So Jonah was told that God, he was a prophet. This is Old Testament stuff. He was told to go to Nineveh, and God was going to bring judgment on Nineveh. And it's kind of sad because the Lord describes them as people that don't know their right hand from their left. It's kind of a sad condition that they were in. Like, they didn't even really know their right hand from their left. So Jonah being sent was God being sending pity and just, gosh, they don't even know their right from their left. I got to send them a prophet because judgment's coming on them. And Jonah didn't really want to do that. I don't think he liked Nineveh very well. I don't think he thought maybe judgment should come on them, you know? It's not my problem they don't know their right from their left. They should. Everybody else does. But God cared about that. And I think that shows you the heart of the Father, that he's willing to go out of his way, even when you're blind as a bat. So Jonah decided he didn't want to go there, and he gets on another boat, and he goes somewhere, and he heads to another, is it Tarshish? Is that how you say that? Tarshish. Okay, that's where he goes. I won't be saying that word again because it's hard. So write it down, look it up. So anyways, he gets on another boat and he starts heading in a different direction. I think in his head he thought he could outrun God. I don't know if anybody has ever thought that or anybody's tried to do that, but you can't. Apparently you can't. And so he started outrunning God and outrunning the call of God in his life. And so what ends up happening is a storm starts happening. It says that God sent a tempest. I'm just going to read this real quick. So, but Jonah rose to flee. God told him to, and from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship. So he paid the fare and went down into it and away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. And the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, little God. And they started hurling all the cargo off. Okay, so they're praying out to their gods, and they're just throwing everything over, like, you know, potato salad, who needs it? You know what I mean? Watermelon, we don't have that next week, you know, just throwing stuff overboard, you know? And the next thing you know, they go down to find Jonah, and guess where Jonah is? He's asleep. He's asleep. And they're like, sleeper, wake up. That's what they call him. They're like, sleeper, wake up. Like, what an insult. Like, we're dying and you're sleeping. Get up. And they're like, okay, we tried our God with a little g. We want to try your God with a big G because ours isn't working. So come up here and do something. So obviously they must have known he was a prophet. So have you ever had situations where you don't realize maybe your value, or you don't realize what you, like, the impact that you have on people around you? So Jonah comes up from sleeping, and he gets up on the ship, and it's about to break apart. So he's probably like, oh, wow, I did this? Like, oh, this is not good. And they're casting lots. They're trying to figure out which one of them did it so that they can, you know, repent and make all this wind stop, because there's a lot of, like, divination. And, you know, they were, you know, they gods were gods of sky and stuff like that. So Jonah's like, you know, he knows. He's like, guys, you need to throw me overboard. And they're like, what? We're not going to throw you. He's like, yeah. He starts telling them, like, no, this is because of me. And I'm trying to run from God, and you need to toss me. And they're like, no, we can't do that. So they start, let's try harder. So they start rowing harder, and they're getting them nowhere. And he's like, no, seriously, like, you're going to throw me with a potato salad, like, toss me over, you know. And so they're afraid because they know now that there's a God that's in charge here. And they know that he brought this tempest and this storm. So they don't want to make him mad by throwing his guy overboard. You know, so they pray and they're like, please do not hold this sin against us. Please do not hold this man's life against us. And threw him overboard. Immediately, the wind's calm. Sun's come out. Birds are chirping. Just like paradise. These guys know that this God is true. This is a living God. They get down, they worship, they sacrifice. So, you know, good came out of evil there because now they're serving the living God. Now, Jonah, it said that God prepared a large fish for Jonah. And maybe that's not the best vehicle of transportation, you know, to be swallowed up whole by a whale and puked out in Nineveh, but it did get him where he needed to go. And it wasn't comfortable, but it accomplished what needed to happen, right? And so my question to us this morning is, who's asleep in your boat? Is Jesus asleep in your boat, or is Jonah asleep in your boat? Because there's some things in your life you got to toss. Maybe you're Jonah, or maybe you're the sailors. Because the sailors were just trying to do their job. And this guy gets on their boat, and the next thing you know, it's like all hell breaks loose, literally. And their boat's going to crash, and they don't even know what they did. And then Jonah comes up and he's like, oh. So sometimes I think there's people that we invite into our lives that need to not be in our lives. They're not in the right, they're not going in, you're not with the right people, the right place, your boat's going to just crash and burn. Okay? It'd be better to be alone with Jesus sleeping in your boat. They have a whole bunch of sailors and Jonah asleep in your boat because you're gonna break apart. So some of us need to make decisions about what we're going to toss over and toss out of our life. And some of us have been Jonahs. Some of you have been Jonahs to your family. You brought in addiction on your family's boat. You brought in waywardness on your family's boat. You've run from God and you've gotten on your family's boat. And you've caused this storm after storm after storm after storm. Let them toss you. Because here's the thing. When you're tossed, God's already prepared an answer to salvation. He's already prepared a large fish to swallow you up and get you where you need to go. If you have people, family members in your life, and you're like, you know what, they keep coming and going, and I'm enabling them now, and I don't know how to stop this enabling, you know what I'm going to have to do? Boom, toss them. And trust that God will make a way of salvation. Because I've not had to toss my child into the sea. I've not had to do that. I've had to toss other things. I've had to let go of things that felt like I was tossing them in the sea. But if you keep them on the boat, you're going to break apart. Everybody's going to perish. You toss them in the sea, it allows God, because he's already prepared. It said God already prepared a large fish. It was already prepared. Okay? Already prepared to get him where he needed to go. And like I said, even though it was uncomfortable, and you might see some people in your life, they might go through some uncomfortable things, you can trust that God will get them somewhere, even if they have to be puked up on some stinky land somewhere, right? You know? I'm sure he showered and everything before he went to meet people. I don't know. It's one way to get attention. But what I'm asking you today is, are you Jonah? Are you the sailors? Because if you're Jonah, you're causing a lot of storms in people's lives, and you really just need to stop and ask God to help you. Jump overboard and just say, Lord, just save me. You got something else planned for me. I don't want to cause these. I'm not telling you to, you know, throw your mother-in-law overboard or anything. I mean, hear me right here. Huh? I'm just telling you to be introspective about what God's speaking to you about, and I kind of feel like he's already done that. So in closing, I have a few questions this morning. I need to ask you, who's in your boat, Jesus or Jonah? Because Jesus calms the storms of our life, but Jonah causes the storms in our life. So if you're Jonah, you want to change that and let Jesus heal you so that you're not causing storms in people's lives. And some of you have been called to do some things that are really impossible. They feel impossible to you. They've been impossible to you. They've been hard, hard things that you've had to do, changes you've had to make to your life that you didn't think you'd have to make like this, and they've been difficult. And Jesus, I want you to know that Jesus sees what's against you and that he'll defy all natural laws to reach you with the miraculous. That he sees you. He sees where you are. And when you step out and do the impossible, like leave something that's familiar or step out to do something that you've never done before, you got to be fixed on Jesus. You have to fix your eyes on him. You have to declare that God is good, because the enemy will want you to blame Jesus for your storm. The enemy will want you to say, you know, it's all your fault. There's something in declaring and looking straight ahead. Fix your eyes on Jesus and say, you are a good God. You calm all storms. You are a good, good God. And that, there's huge. So don't focus on the winds and the waves. Focus on Jesus and the one who has a complete authority over every wind and wave of your life. And then toss overboard whatever is causing the storms in your life. Jump ship if you need to. Jump ship if you need to. Just do a cannonball right off that ship. You know, a belly flop. Whatever you got to do, just jump ship. Make it big. Make it worth it. If you're going to jump ship, do like a little flip around or something like that. You know what I mean? I used to do tricks and I'll be like, Mom, watch this. You know what I mean? Just do something like that. Like, hey, watch this. And just jump up. Don't jump ship. Make it awesome. If you're going to do it, do it. Jump ship if you need to, but don't continue to travel with those that are not going where you're going. You know, I think you've probably always heard this. If you want to be an eagle, you got to hang with eagles. You can't hang with turkeys. You know, pigeons. Pigeons are the little fly rats, you know. Sorry, pigeons. I feel bad. I like doves. So don't hang with people that aren't going in the direction that you're going. If you want to remain, you won't survive the storm. So if you want to remain with them, you won't survive. Your ship will break apart, and you won't make it. You got to trust that God has already prepared an answer for you, which he has, and I'm here to tell you today that he has prepared an answer for you. He definitely knows where you are, knows what's against you. He's prepared an answer for you, and will get you where you're going. All you got to do is cry out to him. All you got to do is keep him in your boat. Wake him when you need to, the first sign of a gusty wind and a dark cloud. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you for the simplicity of visual imagery. Sometimes it just helps us get where we're going. Lord, if there's anybody here today that doesn't know you and wants to invite you into their boat, I just pray that they would just raise their hand and let me know. If you don't know Jesus and you want to invite him in your boat, just throw your hand up and I'll see it. And just rest assured that he's in your boat. He's in your boat. He cares about you. He cares about what's against you. And he'll defy all laws of nature and physics to reach you. Amen? You believe that? So today, if there's some things you got to toss overboard and you just want a friend to agree with you, I'm just going to invite some friends to come up. We're here to pray for you and just to agree with you. If there's anything that, like, he's showing you, any courage that you might need, Lord, we just pray that for us today. Lord, I just pray that for everybody that's doing something new that feels so impossible, that you are the God of all possibilities and that nothing is impossible with you. So I speak that word of hope over you right now in Jesus' name. So this altar is open for anybody that wants prayer. You be blessed. Have a great, great, awesome week. And the Lord loves you. If there's anybody that wants to come forward, please feel free. Amen? Amen.